Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Jesus, and we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your word today, that your word is alive. It has living power. It's active, it's energizing, it's operative, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We thank you that your word is not void of your power nor void of your ability, but it goes out, it accomplishes that for which it was purposed, it prospers where it's being sent today. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are the great revealer of all truth, bringing illumination, revelation into the heart of each listener in here today, quickening that word, making it alive in their hearts. And Father, we thank you for granting me utterance in the Holy Ghost. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words today, and we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome everybody. Welcome all those online with us today. And we hope that you are doing the same thing that we're all doing here in the healing school. And that's that we start out doing the word together. The Bible says it's the doers of the word that are blessed in their deeds. So we start out the healing school with some healing scriptures. That way faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we not only hear that word, but that we put that word into practice by getting it in our mouths so it gets down in our hearts, and then we apply it. It becomes application in our lives. So I want to start out with Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. The Leeser translation says, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. Through his bruises was healing granted to us. The basic English translation says, but it was our pain he took, and our diseases were put on him. While to us he seemed as one diseased on whom God's punishment had come. Woo! The Rotherham translation says, by his stripes there is healing for us. Let's make this confession together today. Surely Jesus has borne my sicknesses and diseases. And carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. All right, the second scripture I'm going to read here today, because what? Faith comes by hearing. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Norley translation says, he took away our illnesses and lifted our diseases for us. The Amplified says, he himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. The New English Bible says he took away our illnesses and carried away our diseases. Yes, he did. Let's make this confession together. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away my sicknesses and diseases. He bore them away and removed them. Disease is not mine. Sickness is not mine. Healing is mine. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness. I will not tolerate sickness. Sickness and disease are totally unacceptable to me. All right, the next scripture, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Woo! The 20th century translation says, his bruising was your healing. Glory to God. Amen. Here's our confession together. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Healing belongs to me. I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed. Because by his stripes, I was healed. Amen. And then our last scripture here for healing school this morning, where we're being doers of that word, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Yes, he did. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Here we go. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why? Why did he come? Why did he manifest? That he might destroy the works of the devil. The Amplified Version says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, dissolve the works of the devil. The Basic English Translation says, the Son of God was seen on earth so that he might put an end to the works of the evil one. Hallelujah. The Wan Translation says that he might neutralize what the devil has done. Yes, he did. The Phillips Translation says, now the Son of God came to the earth and with the express purpose of liquidating the devil's activities. Hallelujah. I don't know about you that I just confessed myself happy. Our confession today is, sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness has been dissolved, broken up, annulled, undone, and liquidated as far as I'm concerned. Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Praise God. You believe that? It's something about releasing our faith in the Word of God and believing in what we're saying. We're not just confessing to confess. No, we're believing that what we're saying is true about us right now. Hallelujah. You mean even though I don't feel like it, Pastor Debbie, even though you don't feel like it, it's not about a feeling, because what feelings are the voice of your body, and your body is not the real you. Your body is the shell of the house for your inward man, or the hidden man of the heart and your soul. You are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in this body. So you're the one that has to control this body and not allow the body that you have to dictate and tell you what you have or what you don't have. It's not based on a feeling. Healing is not based on a feeling. Healing is not based on a feeling. Healing is based on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. What Jesus Christ has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a done deal. It's a settled truth. It's settled forever in the heavens, and you and I are the ones that what? Settle it right here on the earth by what we choose to believe with our heart and say with our mouth. Because the supernatural, like Brother Hagin said, it swings on two hinges. You'll never get away from this as long as you live on the earth. What you believe with your heart and what you say with your mouth on a continual basis. It's a lifestyle, people. It's a lifestyle. Not just in the crisis, not just when we're in church, not just no, not just when the sky is blue. No, all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're taking it serious, right? Just as serious as the enemy is trying to get you to receive that lie, to accept that sickness and disease that does not come from God, we have to be just as much determined and serious about rejecting it, refusing it, not allowing it, not accepting it. Right. Come on now. Yeah. You got to have some fight in you. There's got to be some tenacity like a bulldog. And we ain't taking the devil's junk. We ain't being the devil's pack mule that he can just load on us. Whatever he wants to drop off and watch. No. We don't accept everything that comes down the pipe. No. We've been given authority and dominion on this earth as the people of God, as the children of God, as believers. You and I have been given authority. You've been authorized. You've been deputized. But that doesn't mean you just sit there and let the devil walk all over you and put on you whatever he wants to put on you when he wants to put it on you. No! We have to rise up and put some resistance back against the enemy. I said we have to rise up and resist that devil, resist the enemy, resist those lies, resist those feelings. Say, no, that's not the real me. I don't accept that in Jesus' name. I don't believe that in Jesus' name. And then you have to say with your mouth what you do believe. Oh, I believe this truth here in the Word of God. Jesus took this for me. He conquered this disease for me. He overcame this sickness for me. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to... Come on now. You're the one that refuses it, not the Lord. Well, I'm praying that God will take it from me, Pastor Debbie. He already did. He did it 2,000 years ago. He's waiting for you to believe that truth and receive that as your own. I said he's waiting on you. We're not waiting on him. God has already done everything he's going to ever do about the devil and about every sickness, every disease, every illness, every weakness, every failure. He's already taken care of it. He's provided for our success right here, right now in this life. He's already provided for it. We just got to know about it and then act on it. Believe it's true for you, right? So we started last week with a title called Extreme. Extreme. Anybody ever, you know, sometimes Pastor Chris and I in the wintertime, when he's watching different things, especially sports, so I have to watch sports with him. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. But there's some sports that they call extreme sports. And one of them that I want to talk about in particular is those guys and women, too, that they get on these snowboards. And they're up on this high hill. And they come down these hills that's full of snow. They've already got a path made. And they do these extreme moves on these snowboards. I don't know if any of y'all have ever watched them, but I've watched them with Pastor Chris. And it could be a woman, it could be a man. And I mean, they're on this snowboard and they're coming down this hill. They're building up some real good speed. Well, when they get at a certain speed, some of them will flip. Some of them will twist. Some of them will spin and turn. I mean, they're doing these extreme sports. And I'm like, how in the world on this little snowboard? They're doing all these fancy things on, but it's extreme. Well, how much more? You know, there are some times in this life that we can't just have a five-minute prayer and a few moments in the Word of God and think it's going to take care of something. Come on now. There are times in our lives that we have to be extreme with the Word of God for ourselves. We have to take extreme measures. You and I, we have to take extreme measures. It ain't just going to settle with a little short prayer and a few moments in the Word. No. We need to take it serious what the enemy's trying to do. And we need to become extreme with the Word of God. So we've been looking at what does extreme look like when it comes to the Word of God. When we begin to take extreme measures with the Word of God, what does that look like? And so I had began to share with you about a general in the faith who's still with us here today, and he's gotten up there pretty good in his age too, but he, this is an example of what he did when it comes to taking extreme measures on the Word of God to stay here and not allow the enemy to take him out of here. And so just like in extreme sports, you do some things and you're like, how in the world? But when it comes to the being extreme with the Word of God, it is the Word of God that sustains you, preserves you, upholds you, and strengthens you in these times that the enemy is serious and we need to be just as serious. So I'm going to begin by reading his testimony again, and then we're going to launch from that and just review and hit some new areas today, and I'm believing we're going to get it in Jesus' name. So those who are watching with us online, you just participate, do the same things we do here. This is Healing School. You're learning, you're growing in your faith, growing in your knowledge of the Word of God concerning who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. All right? So he said, the moment I woke up in the morning, before I did anything else, he said, I take communion. Woo! He said, I take communion. He said, Lord, I dedicate my body to you, to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ today. So he took communion, and we looked up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. You know, you can take communion as much as you want to. It's not a thing about once a month here in the church. You can't, yes, we do that here in the church once a month. But you yourself can take communion more than once a month in the church. He took it every morning before he got up. Jesus said these words. He said, "This do ye as often as you drink it and take this, do this in remembrance of me." So he said, as oft as you do it. So you can do it as much as you want to. It is a reminder to you and me. When he got up, first thing he did was take communion. It reminded him when he took of the bread, which was the body of Jesus Christ, and he drank the cup, the blood of Jesus Christ. The cup, of course, is juice. But it reminded him, this man of what Jesus had already done for him through his death, burial, and resurrection. So the first thing he does when he took communion was get his mind set on what Jesus did and not what his body was telling him. Are y'all getting this? So this was very important to him. It was a revelation to him. It has to become that revelation to you. It was a constant reminder. Jesus did this. He already took it. He bore it. I'm doing this in remembrance. Jesus said, as often as you do it, put me in remembrance. You're reminding yourself of what he did, what he's already done and accomplished and provided for you and I. So he said, every morning before I woke up, I did the first thing. I'd take communion. Then he said, Lord, I dedicate my body all day today to the service of my Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Spiritual worship. All of us, our bodies belong to God for his service. So he would dedicate his body in service to the Lord that whole day. Hallelujah. So we saw that in Romans chapter 12, the importance of all of the members of our bodies, what we say with our mouths, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we hear, what we listen to, what we see, what we put before our eyes, what we do with our hands. These hands were made to what? To lay hands on the sick, to glorify and magnify God with, to lift up and worship and honor of him. These hands are to be a blessing. Hallelujah. So we talked about the importance of that. Number two, we said, he said, after he did that and dedicated his body to the Lord for the Lord's service, he said, then I'd put the devil in his place. He said, I'd say, devil, I rebuke you. You're not going to put sickness and disease on me today. He would verbally say that. He said, Satan, I rebuke you. Devil, I rebuke you. You're not going to put sickness and disease on me today. Regardless, and he said, regardless of the symptoms and regardless of what my body thinks about it. So obviously his body was saying another thing, but he was declaring what was so. And he was telling his body that it had to line up with what he believed. He was not moved by what his body was telling him. Do y'all get this? We talked about the importance here when he put the devil in his place. We looked at James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, submit yourself unto God. Submit yourself unto his word. Let the word of God have the final and last say-so in your life. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist means to push away.
That's right.
Push away from you. Resist. It means actively and intentionally. We have to be intentional. When we go to resist the devil, we need to be intentional about it. And it's some action that we take on our part, not God's part. Being intentional when it comes to resisting the enemy. Because the Bible says he will flee from you. Run as if in terror. He has to. When he said regardless of the symptoms, we also looked up Jonah last week. Jonah chapter 2 and in verse 8 where it says that symptoms or pain is lying vanities. And it says, do not observe those lying vanities because you might forsake your own mercy. And the mercy, healing is a mercy of God. Well, we don't want to look at, be distracted at by those lying vanities, the symptoms of the pain in our bodies. Come on now. Regardless of what your body is telling you or what you think of what it thinks, he says, by the power of Jesus through his spirit. Well, that reminds me right away of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. What does it tell us? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So he says, by the power of Jesus through his spirit, I have overcome this sickness because he who is within me is what? Greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4, 4. Greater. You are of God, little children, and have already overcome them. The agents of the Antichrist, the devil and all his cohorts. You have already overcome them, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Excuse me. Oh, glory. So we talked about what the Bible says, that God has already called you more than a conqueror, an overcomer. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Revelations 12, 11. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Winners in this life, right here, right now. We talked about Romans 8, 37, more than conquerors. We have to see ourselves the way God sees us. But that only comes through spending time in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to paint the picture on the canvas of our hearts. Let your tongue be that pen as of a ready writer. Your tongue being that pen, writing on the canvas of your heart continually. Who you are, what you have, what you possess in this life, what you can do in this life. So he would be serious in resisting the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. where it tells us again to be to resist him strong in our faith. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, withstand him, be firm in the faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. We talk about having that determination in you to stand strong against the enemy and not be moved otherwise. Hallelujah. This all takes work. Yes, it does take work, Pastor Debbie. It takes work on our behalf. It's not going to happen by just osmosis. Just because something is the will of God does not mean it's going to automatically happen or show up. No, 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 no. When something is the will of God, we must believe that truth, receive that truth, act on that truth. Amen? Amen. So he says, after I put the devil in his place, regardless of what my body or the symptoms in my body, he said, but by the power of Jesus and through his spirit, woo, he knew the power of the Holy Ghost. How about praying in tongues? What, Pastor Depp? Praying in other tongues when you're in a lot of pain or you're dealing with a lot of symptoms in your body, pray in other tongues. Do you know when you pray in other tongues, it bypasses your mind? And it activates and stimulates some endorphins in your body that releases certain chemicals in your body that are stronger than morphine. Let me tell you, I want to share some things with you because there are times I have woken up 2 o'clock in the morning with attacks in my body. And I mean, it was horrible. It was not good. And so I'd get up, get out of the bed. I wouldn't stay in the bed. I'd get up, get out of the bed. I'd go to my study. And first of all, I would look in my spirit and say, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? Because sometimes the Spirit of God might lead you, give you a scripture. And if he gives you a scripture, then you put that scripture in your mouth and you decree it and you declare it and you stand on it. But there are other times he might lead you to praise and worship him. I've just praised and worshiped God for hours, 2 and 3 hours, and it left. But there are other times that he just said, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. So I get in my position and I just pray in tongues for 3 hours, 4 hours might go by. And every symptom, every pain would leave. What, Pastor Debbie, 3 and 4 hours? I don't have 15 minutes. Well, you know what? You'll put time and you'll invest time in where it's worth you to invest your time. Come on now. It left me. 3 hours later, 4 hours later, it left me. Hello. But it's being led by the Spirit of God. Each time, sometimes when those attacks come against you, you need to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. Because I have praised my way out of things, I'm telling you. Things coming against me physically. I have just praised and praised and sang in other tongues, sang in the spirit, sang spiritual songs, hymns, sang real songs. I mean, come on now. You got to be willing. I said you got to be determined and willing. It's not just a little quick prayer and a few moments in the Word. Remember, we're talking about extreme. Yeah. Extreme measures. And it works. Especially when you listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are other times, like I've told you and shared with you about flying on an airplane. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me when I was in prayer, he said, get the word in your mouth and decree what you want, how you want to fly. I said, well, I want to fly pain-free. My ears are going to adjust to the altitudes going up and coming down, because usually when I got on the plane, fear would try to grip me, because when the plane took off and started ascending, my ears would start closing, and it was the biggest pressure, the worst pressure in the whole wide world. To me, it was anyway. the worst pressure you could ever feel, and then the pain that came from the pressure, it was unbearable. But I learned to overcome it by, in my prayer closet, listening to the Spirit of God. He says, you can have what you say concerning this matter. So I was like, okay. So I knew that was taken right from Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith, because he believes in his heart. So I began to, at that very moment, I was not persuaded that I would be flying pain free. But I got that word into my heart. I got it into my mouth first. I began to say, when I get on the next airplane, I begin to fly Pastor Chris and I, wherever we need to go to a conference or whatever. I said, I'm going to fly pain free. And my ears are going to adjust to the altitude changes going up and coming down. I began to say it. I said it all the time. I said, when Pastor Chris and I go to fly on a plane, I'm going to fly pain free. My ears are going to adjust to the altitude changes going up and coming down. Well, here comes the next flight. Here comes the next trip. And we get on the plane, and what's the first thing I have to deal with? Fear. Yeah, because fear has been so used to controlling me right there. But the Bible says, what God did not give you, a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So we can resist fear. It's a spirit. You have to resist that fear. So I began to mumble to myself right there. I was by the window. He was next to me. And I began to say, no, I resist you, fear, in Jesus' name. I'm flying pain-free. When this plane starts going up, ascending, descending, I'm going to fly pain-free. Pain-free, and my ears are going to adjust. Yeah. What happened? Pain came. What happened then? It got intense. But I hung on to what the Lord told me, what the Spirit of God told me in my prayer closet. Yeah. You can have what you say. I kept saying, I rebuked the pain, I stood against the pain, I stood against the symptoms, and I decreed it and declared it all the way there and all the way back. Three times, three different trips we flew on the plane. I stood against fear, I stood against the pain, the symptoms, all that comes with it. And after the third time we got on the plane, I flew pain free. Now, I wonder if I had given up before that fourth time. Yeah. If I had given up and said, oh boy, this don't work, if I'd given up, I would have given in. And it would still be controlling me. But you have to be persistent with the Word of God. You know, when the devil... When you go to the doctor and he prescribes to you a medication, well, he tells you how often you need to take it, how long you need to take it. Do you know it takes a while to get that medication into your body before it starts working? And you're willing to allow that time for it to get in the body and start working. Well, how much more the medication of the Word of God? If we just allow it to get in and start working, but we want to cut it off while it's still trying to... We're willing to allow the doctor's medication all the time that it needs to work. Well, come on now, we want the Word of God, the medication of this Word, which is, what did it tell us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23-22? It's life, it's healing, it's medicine to all your flesh. Well, allow that medicine to get in there and start working. Give it time to work. Right. For me, because of where I was in my faith at that time, it took three trips, and then the fourth when I flew pain-free. Right. It may not be that way for you. It's just getting that word in and allowing it to work. Give it time to work, because it does work. Hallelujah. Hope this is helping you. So we can't give in and give up and quit because we didn't feel it the first time, second time. Come on now. Let's be determined, consistent, and persistent. We ain't giving in to this. We ain't giving in to the lies of the enemy. We ain't giving in to this, what he's trying to get you to accept, permit, allow. That's what it comes down to it. That's what the devil wants you to do. Accept it, permit it, and allow it. Thinking you got to live with it the rest of your life. Lie. It's a lie. So he said, after he put the devil in his place, he said, then all day long, I would thank God for my healing. Woo! Glory to God. Now, this is after he's taken communion. He's dedicated his body to the service of the Lord for God's work and service. He rebuked Satan, took authority over Satan, put Satan in his place, and then all day long he would thank God for his healing. Well, it tells us, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tells us right here, 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 18. He would thank God all day long. Not just 5 minutes. Not just 20 minutes. Come on now. Come on. He said all day long he would thank God for his healing. For his healing. Woo! It says right here in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm reading from the Amplified. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. You're not thanking God for the circumstance. You're thanking God through the circumstance that his word is true and he will see you through. Hallelujah. So you're thanking God for the end result, which is what? Your healing, your divine health. You got to know that he's going to deliver you out of every trial and test. It's not God bringing the test in your life, bringing the trial or the test. Come on now. Nope. Those oppositions, storms of life come to all of us, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and to sway you off your what? Faith and trust in God and his word alone. No, his word is true and he will see you through. Yes. You're thankful. So he said, I gave thanks to God all day long for my healing. He said, I choose some teaching series that I could listen to, that I would fill my mind and my heart with the word of God. So not only did he give thanks all day long for his healing, then he would find some good teaching. Here you go now. Yeah. That would fill his mind and his heart with the anointed word of God. And he said, all day I'd listen to them throughout the whole day. Now they got stuff, you know, they call it smartphones. Well, I like to use mine to be smart for the word of God. So I take it, and you can go online on YouTube, and you can find Kenneth Hagin's God's Medicine, which is nothing but healing scriptures, one after the other. You can listen to that. Dodie Osteen's has got one out there where she's got nothing but healing scriptures. She was healed miraculously from liver cancer. Brother Hagin, he was raised up from a deathbed, from a heart disease to a blood disease to paralysis. Hallelujah. Charles Capps out there, he's got one that has nothing but the healing word of God you can listen to and confess with them. There are things out there for you. Charles Capps, Dodie Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, they're out there for you. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she's got one on healing and healing scriptures you can listen to with the confessions of what to say with them. I mean, it's powerful. So you're not without resources that you can be listening to all day long. Right. In between, you're thanking God for your healing. I'm telling you, it's something about thanking God for your healing. Taking that time out to thank him and praise him for your healing. So he said, all throughout the day, I'd fill my mind and my heart. Here you go. He's talking about his mind and his heart. Why? Because I'm sure that between the symptoms and what his body was telling him, it was trying to distract him and lure him away to look at something else. What? What his body was telling him. But he said, instead, I chose to listen to the Word of God. Good teaching, good. That's why I'm telling and sharing with you. Hey, you can replay the Healing Center, the Healing School over and over again. Yes. There are great resources to get into your hands. We talked about extreme measures with the Word of God. What does it look like? What does an extreme measure with the Word of God look like when you are being bombarded? Come on now. So he woke up, he took communion first thing, he committed his body to the service of the Lord first thing, he took authority over the devil, put the devil in his place, then he began to thank God all day long, he began to fill his mind and his heart with good teaching, good scriptures on healing. Come on now. Then listen to this. He said, I'd listen throughout the whole day. Then in the afternoon, he said, I'd praise God and receive communion again. Okay, here's communion in the middle of the day. Woke up with it first thing in the morning, reminding him of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Took the bread, took the juice. He said, I'm reminding myself, Jesus has already paid for my healing. My God, my God. We're talking about extreme measures when it comes to the devil not play, when he's trying to be serious and take us out. We got to be just as determined and serious. So he says, I'd wake up. Hallelujah. So he said, in the afternoon, I'd praise God and receive communion again to remind myself that the blood of Jesus is in my veins, that I'm a part of God's family. Woo! Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. It said it reminded him he was part of God's family and that Jesus' blood was in flowed through his veins. Remember, do this as often as you do this, Jesus said, as often as you choose to do this. Jesus said, as often as you choose to do this in remembrance of me. You're retelling the story of his death, burial, and resurrection. He conquered that sickness and that disease. It was put on Jesus. So he said, then, he said, this helped me to remember Jesus all day and through the night. He says, you need to consider Jesus. So let's turn to Hebrews, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read verse 2 and 3 out of the Amplified. You need to remember Jesus all day and all night. You need to consider Jesus until... He said, until the thoughts of him push the thoughts of that sickness and disease out of your mind. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12, reading from the Amplified, it says, looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus, who's the leader and the source of our faith, or who's the starter and the completer of our faith. Who's the source of our faith or the starter of our faith, given the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, the completer, the finisher of our faith, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we think about this, Jesus says, you think on him because he says, now I'm seated at the right hand of God in the place of what? Rulership, dominion, and authority, where I've conquered the enemy. I've conquered the sickness and disease for you. Look to Jesus, the author, the starter, the completer. of your faith, the finisher of your faith. Look at him. And then verse 3, it says, just think of him. Woo, oh boy. Oh boy. It says, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up, consider it all in comparison with your trials. Oh my gosh, what? Let me verse 3 again. Just think of him. We're talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Word of God. Just think of him. Think on that word. Think of the word. Who endured from sinners such grievous opposition, bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up, consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart, and relaxing and fainting in your what? In your mind. God doesn't want you to faint, lose heart, give up, quit in the midst of this fighting the good fight of faith. Come on now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind with the truth. The truth is the Word of God. We need to gird up the loins of our mind with the truth. 1 Peter 1:13. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Right here. We're talking about not growing weary. Galatians chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 9. And let us not lose heart and grow weary. We're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Woo! God doesn't want us to faint or lose heart or give up and quit. No, he don't. He's provided for you the necessary strength that you need to stay right in here. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Scriptures is the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Don't you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13, it says, and as for you, brethren, do not become weary or lose heart in doing right, but continue in well-doing without weakening. Woo, my. Continue in it without weakening. Well, you know, every time you put the Word of God before you, it's quickening your body. I said the Word of God has the power within itself to fulfill itself. The Word of God is living power. So when you're partaking of the Word of God, the life is flowing from that Word into every cell, every tissue, every organ, every fiber of your being. Come on now, you got to see it like that. The Word of God is life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving. It has the life of God in it. It is life and spirit, John 6:63. The Word of God. And it does not return unto him void. So when you're speaking the Word, when you're reading and studying this Word, when you're meditating on this Word, you're partaking of his very life of God is flowing from that Word into you. Yes. Hallelujah. He said you have to consider Jesus continually until the thoughts of Jesus push the thoughts of that sickness right out of your mind. Then he said, that night before bed, I'd receive communion again 3 times. Morning when he first got up, middle of the day, in the afternoon, while he's praising and thanking God for his healing. Then again at night before he went to bed, it was a constant. He was retelling the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That sickness and disease has already been conquered when he took of that blood that sealed and ratified that covenant that we have with God. He partook of the bread and reminded him that Jesus bore this for him in his place, in his stead. He refuses to bear what Jesus bore. Come on now. So he said, that night before I'd go to bed, I'd receive communion again. Then he said, after I took communion, I would praise myself to sleep. Woo! I couldn't think of no better way than to go to sleep by praising yourself to sleep. Well, I thought, Pastor Deb, nope, praise yourself to sleep. Praise yourself to sleep till you fall right to sleep. He gives to his beloved what? Sweet sleep. Yes. He said, I'd praise myself to sleep. He said, then if the devil woke me up in the night, he said, I'd reach over to my dresser right by my bed, pull off my Bible, and I'd read every healing scripture concerning me out loud. Just to remind the devil, this is who I am and this is what I have. And then he said, I read my Bible out loud with the healing scriptures and make the devil sorry that he woke me up. He said, if you put yourself under the constant care of the Word of God, the Word of God will take care of you. How powerful is that? In Acts chapter 20, it says this. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. And I commend you to the word of His grace. Here we go. I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to what? The word of His grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of His unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance. Divine health is your inheritance. This word, he says, I commend you to God, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance among God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Put yourself under the constant care of the word of God, and the word of God will take care of you. 2 Timothy chapter, we will end right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings. Here we go with the Word of God. Which are able to what? Instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, salvation is an all-inclusive word. Healing, wholeness, preservation. All of that is included right here in your salvation. These words, God's word, which is able to instruct you and give you understanding. Put yourself under the constant care of the Word of God, and the Word of God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, today for your healing word. Woo! It's good stuff. Yep. It is good stuff. The word of God is more than a word on a piece of paper. It's life, it's healing, it's medicine to all our flesh. Praise God for it. It's life-changing, life-preserving, life-sustaining, life-giving. The Word of God has the power within itself to fulfill itself. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you today for your Word. that it doesn't return void. And Lord, as it fell on these ears, listening ears today, we believe the Holy Spirit is quickening that word into the heart of each listener, making it alive and real to each one of them, so they continue to develop in their faith, grow in their faith, where it becomes exceedingly growing faith, where it becomes the God kind of faith, sickness, disease, dissolving faith, world overcoming faith, the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I just sense that somebody watching online with us this morning, you need, what is that, Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah. You're in a life and death situation. The Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 17, you shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of God. You were at the point of giving up and giving in and quitting, but because of the scriptures and the word of God that's been shared today, you're not going to quit, give up, or give in. The power of God's coming into your room right now. My God, I feel that power. The healing power of God, the healing anointing is coming right into that room where you are. And if you'll believe and receive that healing anointing, that healing power into your body right now, He's quickening you. He's strengthening you. If you believe, you receive, hallelujah, your healing right now. Lord, we send your healing word to heal her and deliver her from all her destruction, that woman. Right now, the power of God. You're feeling it. Hallelujah. It's all over you, woman. It is on you. You're trembling and shaking under the power of God right now. He's working. He's working in you. He's working in you. Every cell, every tissue, every bone. I see those bones in your body being restored, being made whole right now. They're being quickened by that healing power. Oh, God, I thank you, Father. I thank you for doing this. I thank you. I thank you. Now, whoever you are, that lady out there, just praise and thank God. Lift your hands. Praise God. Thank God. Praise Him. Thank Him for what He's done, what He's done, what He's already done. Praise Him. Thank Him. The pain has left you in Jesus' name. The disease has gone out of you in Jesus' name. You've just been quickened and strengthened in Jesus' name. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're no respecter of persons. You love us so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your healing mercies. Every day, every day, every day. Now, if there's anybody in here today and you would like to have hands laid on you, we just ask you to step out of the aisle, come right up here and stand in this front row. You can receive healing right there in your very seat. It's totally up to you.